Back when I was in elementary school, we sang a song. I don't know if they still teach it today, but all of us have probably heard it. It's Home, Home on the Range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Well, that's sure not Texas the last week or two or month or so, is it? Where seldom is heard a discouraging word. Sometimes I think it's hard for us to imagine that kind of place today. We get up and we look at our cell phones and we find out that crime is up and stocks are down. We hear about global warming and climate change. We hear each political party blaming the other for the country's problems. So we go to work and somehow it doesn't get any better. Corporate shows up and chooses out and blames us for the problems and gives us more work to do. Our coworkers snap at us and our computer decides that it wants to go through the wonderful time of updating and it just kind of shuts down for 15 or 20 minutes. And when we finally get home at the end of the day and we walk in, our dogs are snapping at us, our kids are whining, and our spouse says, oh, by the way, can you go to the store because we need something for dinner? Some days are like that, aren't they? And who wouldn't want to be out on the range where seldom is heard a discouraging word? Well, I think no matter who we are or what we do, we've all had those kind of days. And we all need those kind of people, those kind of days in our life where we're going to receive some encouragement. I'm glad for our ability to go through a chapter by time in the book of 2 Corinthians, because today we're going to see the humanity of the Apostle Paul. He was a great leader of the church, but he went through those discouraging times just like we did. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, Paul talks about a time when he was very discouraged about life in general. For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest. We are harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside and fears within. Paul's writing about a time when he was physically beat and exhausted. Mentally, he worried over the churches that he'd been able to start and how those Christians were doing. He and other Christians were being persecuted by the Roman government and opposed even by other Christians. Maybe he woke up that day that he was writing this chapter, and maybe it was a gray day as well. And the result was this wave of discouragement came over him. So when that happens, how do we receive encouragement? What do we need to do or to be in order to be that encouraging person that others in the body of Christ need to be? Paul shows us three practical ways that we can not only be encouraged, but we can encourage one another in this chapter. The first way we can encourage one another is to live a life of integrity. In verse 2, Paul writes, "Make room for us in your hearts. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited no one." Paul's referring to charges that were being brought against him by other Christians. The church in Jerusalem was undergoing a persecution so severe that the Christians were barely able to make it from day to day. And so Paul, on one of his missionary journeys, was going around not only preaching the gospel, but he was also collecting money to be forwarded to the Jerusalem church so that those Christians could receive some practical encouragement to be able to live. Paul's enemies within the church, probably those who are jealous, those who wanted to be seen as leader of the church. They were saying that Paul's really a con man. He's taking your money and he's using it for himself. So you shouldn't believe a word he says. But Paul knew that wasn't true. He was not taking that money under false pretenses. He was doing everything he could to make sure the money was being used to take care of Christians like it was supposed to be. People who knew Paul knew that he was a man of integrity. And he demonstrated the reality of the resurrected life, of the resurrected Christ in his daily lifestyle. And so it was at this time that all he could do was to point to that integrity that he and others knew about and encourage them to keep on going for Christ because of the example that they saw in Paul's life. I think the same thing is true today. All of us at times are going to be discouraged, maybe with other Christians, maybe in our walk with Christ. And at that time, I believe, we too need believers who live and model a life of integrity to give us the encouragement that we need to keep going as well. I can remember two men in particular who greatly influenced my life. When I first met them, they were both successful in a way that I can only dream of. Duffy, and this is before the AT&T phone system was broken up, Duffy was the youngest vice president in the history of AT&T. Wasn't even 40 years old yet. Larry was a successful veterinarian who lived life differently. When his three children started to become teenagers, he and his wife retired so that he could focus the next 6 years, 6, 8 years, on his three teenagers and the teenagers in the church. And when his children went to college, then he went back to work. Great example of living life for others. They're both tremendous Christians. They're both godly husbands and parents. They both became a role model, not only to myself, but to Donna and I. At the time we were living in Colorado, we had two preschoolers that we had when we first got to the church. Two more came into the family during our time in the church. Life with four preschoolers at once was certainly not easy and often discouraging. Larry and Duffy invited us to be part of their weekly Bible study. Over the years, we saw firsthand how these men lived for Christ. We saw the passion with which they loved the Lord and the love that they gave to other people. And it greatly encouraged us, especially because we also saw how they walked with Christ through some very difficult times in their life. Larry's three children, the first two, were biological in the sense that there came out the two daughters. But the number three was an adopted son. And he caused them grief all their years. Frank was a kind of a boy who knew he had been adopted and resented the parents that adopted him. As he was growing up, he gave his parents a very difficult time, and there was a period of time when he walked away from the Christian heritage that he'd been brought up in. He entered a lifestyle that brought him into a lot of drugs and a lot of violence and a lot of the almost a counterculture to that of Christ. Larry and Duffy loved him, and as a men could only love him, and Larry as only a father can love him. Frank saw a man murdered, went to prison. Even though he didn't commit the murder, he was in prison. But it was while he was in prison that Frank came back to his Christian roots. And he and his dad would spend many hours visiting Frank. Larry would visit Frank in prison, talking about Christ. And then almost like what you would see in a crime show today, Frank decided because of Christ, he would turn state's evidence against the people who committed the murder. And the week that he was to testify, he was gunned down on the streets and killed. I use that story to say that these men that I admired because of the adversity they walked through. Life was not all blessed for them. But even in those times where it was extremely difficult, they modeled Jesus to such a way that I, who was not yet 30 when I first met them, I looked up to them and I thought, if I could only be half the Christian they were when I was 40 years old, half the father, half the husband, then my life and my family would be blessed. My challenge to us today, be the Christian who lives such a life of integrity that you become an inspiration to those who know you. My guess is that you also are going to go through those tough times in your life if you haven't already. And it's the way you go through those tough times that becomes even more of an inspiration to others in the church. You see, sometimes we need a living Jesus. Now, what do I mean by that? We can read about Jesus in Scripture. We read about what He went through. And that is great for us. But sometimes when we see Christ being lived out in a daily life today, it encourages us because we too can be that person. And so my challenge to you this morning, live a life of integrity to such a degree that you become an inspiration to others. By doing so, you will walk in the footsteps of Paul, the footsteps of Christ, and many others. The second way that you and I can encourage others who might be discouraged is to give unconditional love to people. I want you to look at what Paul wrote in verse 3. I do not say this to condemn you. I have said before that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. In these words, Paul is telling the Corinthians, live or die. I'm going to love you. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to support you. I will not abandon you. I will not write you off. You are in my heart. You are loved no matter what. Now, those words sound easy to say, and they're great to hear, but I want you to think about for a moment who it was that Paul was writing these words to of unconditional love. He was writing them to the Christians who were challenging Paul's authority as a leader in the church. He was writing words of unconditional love to Christians who were misusing the spiritual gifts that God had given them. He was writing words of support to those who were abusing the communion table of Christ. He was writing words of love to those who were exalting others and putting others down at the same time in a life of hypocrisy. He was writing to those who were proud and who were divisive and who were abusing God's grace by openly accepting flagrant sin in their church. In short, he was writing this to difficult people. And he was saying to those difficult people in his life who cost him a lot of pain, I'm going to love you no matter what. How many of you have difficult people in your life? Those people that are difficult to love? Those people that, as one person put it, there are some people that when I've been around them for hours, it seems like minutes, because our time together is so sweet. But there's others that I'm around them for minutes, and it seems like hour after hour after hour. Y'all have some of those people in your life? Those people that you just have to grit your teeth and say, oh, I've got to love them anyway. Guess what? We all do. And Paul is saying the way that we encourage others is how we love the difficult people in our life. It's easy to love the wonderful people, but it's when we love the difficult people unconditionally and others see us loving that way, it encourages them. Because I think all of us need help loving people. And when we see a person in the body of Christ who loves unconditionally, it challenges that we can do the same. So often, I think it's even more important because we see just the opposite example in the church and in society today. We see examples of families who give up on one another and fail to show that unconditional love. We see examples of parents who walk out on their children or their spouses in the later years of life. I can remember one example when a Christian couple that we knew had been married about 35 or 40 years. Their children were grown and in college, and they just decided to divorce each other because they were tired of each other. Our children happened to be visiting us, family vacation, and they knew the couple. And I just asked our children one day, what would it have been like on you if mom and I were to one day say, oh, by the way, we decided to divorce because we don't love each other anymore? They couldn't even begin to describe the impact it would have on them. What I'm trying to say here, what I'm trying to challenge you, is that more than ever, we need examples in the church of unconditional love. We need spouses who are going to love their spouse unconditionally. One of the sources of inspiration in my life today are some of the people that Donna worked with. She's an activity director in a memory care and assistant living facility. You've got spouses who are in that place because of Alzheimer's and who are losing their mind one degree at a time. And yet you've got another spouse who comes every day to faithfully visit them. And it's an encouragement for us, for me, to love unconditionally. We need examples of church leaders who are going to hang in there even when church members are tough. We need Christians like Paul who are going to love one another unconditionally. The third way that we can encourage one another, maybe one of the most practical ways of all, we can affirm the special people in our lives. Look at Paul's words in verse 4. I have great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged by you. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bound in you. Look at some of those. Think of some of those words. Great confidence. Great pride. Greatly encouraged. My joy knows no bounds. In educational circles, people talk about something called positive reinforcement. The idea is that a teacher should praise a student for what they are doing correctly. In one school that I subbed in, the teachers had a phrase for this: catch them being good and let them know it. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a person and I've said, can I talk to you for a moment? And their automatic assumption, what I do? What's wrong? And I'll say, nothing. I just want to let you know I saw you do so and so, and I greatly and you can just see the change come over there. Like, oh gosh, good. Catch them being good. Not only is that a great slogan for teachers, but for spouses and parents and managers and coaches and church leaders and anybody who is around people today. So let me challenge you this morning. How can we be affirming to those special people in life? How can we catch them being good? Well, how do these words come across? Thank you. I appreciate you because I'm glad you're part of my life. My life is better because of you. I'm glad God gave you to us. I think you're wonderful. I can't imagine life without you. I can't wait to spend time with you. Your friendship means more to me than you'll ever know. The example of godliness you have set has inspired me too. Don't those words sound great? Wouldn't they be wonderful if someone said them to you? Or if you said them to someone else? You see, we can all affirm the special people in our lives. So let me show you a few practical ways we can live out what Paul is teaching. First of all, let me challenge you to affirm the special people in your life while they're still alive. That may sound very simplistic. Flowers and notes at funerals are wonderful. But how much better would it be to take the time to express your appreciation and share it with that person while they're still alive? And they're still there to hear it and appreciate it. Let me challenge you also to affirm those people in person, face to face, if at all possible. You know, we all have this thing now called a cell phone, and we can send a text. And texts are really good, but they can also be easily deleted. It's also nice to receive a letter in the mail or a card. And not just on those days when we're expected to. I'm a good son. I send my mom a Mother's Day card every year. But how about sending her a card when it's not Mother's Day? How often do I do that? Let me get on to preaching. You see, the idea is, yes, cards and letters are special because people will read them and reread them, but even better is when we visit that person and talk to them face to face and spend time with them. I think one of the tragedies of our society today is that we are so busy and so spread out that we no longer encourage one another face to face. But if at all possible, do that. And if you can't do it face to face, make that phone call, send that card, send that text. But let people know that they're special in your life. Here's a couple of challenges that we have that are very practical. Husbands and wives, don't be so busy that you fail to take time with each other. Make sure you always have a date night on a regular occasion. Sometimes it might just be a cup of coffee together or before the kids go to bed. Parents, what about spending one-on-one time with your children? My boys, three of them, I'll have their kids now, and my son-in-law has some of our grandkids too. And what I appreciate about each of the men is that they all have some daddy-daughter or daddy-son dates. I can't tell you how meaningful that is to me as a father to see my grown sons and son-in-law taking time to affirm and value the children in their lives. It's something that I never had growing up, and I'm glad to see them taking the time for it. What about those of us who have aging parents? How do we affirm them? I've mentioned this before, but do you know that about 80 or 90% of people in nursing homes get less than one visit a year? Think about that. So often, the older a person gets, the lonelier they get. And yet, these are the same people who gave us everything we have to start life. We're always going to be busy people. But one thing my mom told me time and time again has always stuck with me. She said, "Robin, if you're too busy for people, you're too busy." And I think that's something Paul could say too. People affirmed him. He affirmed people, and we need to be doing the same thing. We mentioned at the beginning of today's message that we live in a world that is often a discouraging world. A world that specializes in building people up at the expense of others. A world in which life can be hard and tough at times. A world in which every one of us needs encouragement at one time or another. Because we live in such a discouraging world, God has put the church into the world to be different, to be the light and the salt. The most encouraging people in our lives and in this world should be Christians. Listen to what the following scriptures have to say. Hebrews 3:13. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That's pretty practical. Pretty blunt. And Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We live in a discouraging world. And I don't mean to be a downer this morning, but this world's going to get worse. That's what Scripture promises us. But as it gets worse, the church should get better. As the world around us grows more discouraging, the church should be the one place in the world where people are encouraged more than ever. Where we reach out and live a life of integrity. Where we reach out with a life of love. And where we reach out and affirm the special people in our lives. Today's challenge may not be very spiritual as much as it is practical, but sometimes the two go hand in hand. Sometimes being a person of the Spirit is being a person of practicality. And that's what I appreciate about Paul today. How can you and I encourage others? Let's live that life of integrity, that show the special love to the difficult people in our lives, and let's show the special people in our lives an even greater affirmation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Paul. That when he was discouraged, that he could look to people in the church who encouraged him. And when he saw people in the church who were discouraged, that he reached out and encouraged them. Today, help us to be the body of Christ that encourages one another. Help us to be people who live a life to such a degree that we walk with you in an encouraging way to those who are going through tough times. And if we in this room this morning are going through those tough times, send people, believers, into our lives who will encourage us as we need it. We ask this and thank you in your Son's name. Amen. You know, the most practical encouragement I can think of, the words that Jesus said, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for another. Jesus was that man for us. This morning we are going to offer an invitation. We are going to